Well, welcome to Condition of the Heart, and this is the third session. There is a major difference between condemnation and conviction. And the Bible teaches us there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And what Jesus did on the cross is he took our sin and our shame and our guilt and our punishment, amongst many other things. And so that in our lives, there is no condemnation because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore we're declared innocent before God. In fact, we can only come before his throne in worship and prayer and praise through the blood of Jesus. And so Jesus took our guilt and shame upon himself. Now, we do still sin, but when we sin, we come to God, as we saw in the last session David did, and we repent. And the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, it's important when we allow God to work in our hearts that we're sensitive to whether it's conviction or condemnation, because it's only the enemy who wants to condemn us. So when God deals with us, he's not condemning us. When the Holy Spirit highlights something, he's convicting us. He's saying, hey, this isn't how I want you to be living this new life I've given you. You need to repent. You need to deal with it. And then you need to allow me to change your heart so that the heart attitude that got you into this in the first place, as we saw with King David, is changed so that it doesn't actually happen again. But what's important is we remember that the Jesus, if you like, is the vine dresser, or God's the vine dresser, and he will come and prune, the scriptures tell us, even the things that are bearing fruit and the things that are not. But if you're the vine, you don't tell the vine dresser what needs pruning. In other words, we don't want to be endlessly looking in on ourselves to see what's wrong. In fact, it's disobedience to God to do that, because we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus. If we look at ourselves, we're going to get into a lot of trouble and discouragement. When we look at Jesus, we see all he's done for us, all he's called us to be, all he's making and has made us. And so we fix our thoughts on Jesus, not on ourselves. And then Jesus will do the work. But there'll be times when you just feel in your spirit, if you're sensitive to God, you just think, hang on, I'm being judgmental, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't be doing that. And you feel conviction in your spirit. And that's God basically wanting his best for you. He's saying, right, okay, have a soft heart. Let's sort this out. We'll talk in the next session about how you can actually harden your heart to God and the type of conditions he wants our heart to be. But for this session, I gave a bit of an example last time that just because God highlights something in your heart doesn't mean you've got a hard heart or a bad heart. It could be that. But it's the test of how soft your heart is to how you respond to God, or I respond to God when he convicts us. Are we going to be all defensive? If he tells us to do something, give something, there's something in his word we know we should be doing or not doing, and we're ignoring that, we're hardening our hearts. But if you have a soft heart and you really want God to change your heart, or I want him to change my heart, he'll do that. But when he shows you something, you know, let's see what happened to Isaiah when the glory of God shone into his heart. Isaiah 6:1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, in this vision Isaiah's having here, just the heavenly beings crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In my prayer times, I'll often be doing the same, because the world can make you feel pretty unclean and there's all this stuff going on. But I just lift my hands to God and say, holy, 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 you are holy. Lord, you've made me holy as well. Lord, you've cleansed me and washed me in your blood. Thank you. I'm a partaker of your holiness, scripture says. And I'll just remind myself in prayer. But in this, Isaiah's coming from doing whatever he was doing in his everyday life to having this vision of all the heavenly beings crying, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth's full of his glory. And it was so loud, it says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. The volume of God's glory, and the angels yelling and crying out, holy, holy, there was conviction of heart going on, was so strong, the very building of the temple was shaking. Now, what was happening to Isaiah here? He was encountering God. So much so that he cried, woe to me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Why didn't he pray that the day before? Why didn't he pray that the week before? Because he wasn't encountering God in the same way the day before or the week before. This was a time of encounter. Now, sometimes to realize how great the mercy and forgiveness of God is, we need to realize how awful our sin is. And I've had a few encounters in my own life where I've come before God and I know that I've actually let him down. But listen, we can walk around with, oh, if I sin, God will forgive me, and have a very casual attitude towards sin. But when God turns his spotlight onto you and you're so aware of his holiness and his glory, it amplifies and shows you something towards how God really sees sin. And I'll tell you something, Jesus didn't die casually on the cross. Our sin is awful. Our one sin is enough to separate us from all eternity, from God. One sin, one act of rebellion, one wrong word would give us, without Jesus, eternity in hell. And if you ever, maybe it's never happened to you, but every now and again, I've had a sense of the awfulness of sin. And that Isaiah thing, woe to me, I'm ruined. You know, sin isn't casual. When we sin, we need to be sensitive. God knows, so the woe to me. You know, we need to have a sense of, I'm unclean. The problem is, when we don't walk close to God and worship him in spirit and in truth and encounter him in his glory and holiness, we just become numb to it. And we just get worldly. And we don't really know what unclean is anymore. Why? Because we're not encountering God. This is why at Kenilworth Baptist Church, we are so hot on, by the grace of God, worshipping him in spirit and in truth, and not just singing our favourite songs. Encountering him, letting him be in charge of the service. We're just like the master of ceremonies. God, come and do what you want to do. But if the enemy can get you and I to desensitize the awfulness of sin, what happens is we treat sin casually and we just stop walking close to God. Now, here's the point, one of the points. Don't look for your own sin. Let God show it. Let God show it. And when he does, repent of it and say, God, you know, there's a tremendous book you can read on what I'm trying to get at today. The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere is a tremendous book that just, you know, we so casual, give your life to Jesus and your life will be fine and he will love you and forgive anything you do. You know what? That's not the whole Bible. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. And one day we will all give an account to God for how we've lived our lives. Sin is awful. And if you don't understand the awfulness of sin, ask God to give you a revelation of just something of the seriousness of what our sin does, and a new revelation of what it took for Jesus, because that will change your life forever. A new revelation of what Jesus has done. And woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He realized he was a man of unclean lips, why he was encountering God. He was coming into the presence of God. And how all of our churches need to be places that are full of the presence of God. Programs are an outworking, should be an outworking of our encounter with God. Another subject there, which we won't go into today. So here you have Isaiah crying out, and the long and short of it is what happens is an angel comes and takes a coal from the altar and it touches his lips, and it says his sin's been atoned for and his guilt taken away. Now we have the blood of Jesus that comes and cleanses our hearts now, and our sin's atoned for, our guilt is taken away. But the horrific place Isaiah was in, I am ruined. Any sin we ever sin has a ruining effect. Not, oh, God will forgive me. No, spiritually it ruins you until you come through the blood. And then you come through the blood, and that should, the revelation of the mercy and the forgiveness and grace, and what it took Jesus to give us that, should ring true in all of our hearts at a deeper and deeper level. So what God's wanting to do in this session today is to just highlight again the awfulness of sin, so we can appreciate the greatness of forgiveness. You know, there's an argument in scripture that goes on, and Paul's actually talking about the grace of Jesus there. And, you know, he's saying the attitude, well, you know, do I go on sinning that grace may abound all the more? Then no. This sin, God, you know, God cannot look at sin. You only have access and acceptance to him through the blood. So when you meet with God, he sees you as sinless. Hence the scripture says we are holy and blameless in his sight. But you cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ, through the blood. The blood paid the price for our sin. So there's no sin in heaven. You cannot come before God with sin going on in your life. And you know, you can only come through the blood. What he sees of you is holy and blameless. There's unresolved issues in your life. There are things that need dealing with before you can actually come before him. He can only see, you know, if you like, what's forgiven. I mean, so much so, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, he remembers our sins no more. But you cannot come to God unclean. You can only come to God through the blood of Jesus, the new and living way scripture teaches. So maybe there's some casual stuff in your life going on that you just treat as casually. Well, it's all right if I don't obey God in this. And well, it's just what the Bible says. Maybe we need to ask God to take away casualness in any of our lives. And you know what? Life can get weary and casualness can come into any of our hearts. Isn't it interesting? In the book of Revelation, God was complimenting one of the churches and he was saying, this is great about you. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing the other. This is all fantastic. But this one thing I hold against you, you've forsaken your first love. And sometimes, you know, God does that to renew us to him so we can move in all the best that he has for us. Not to beat us up, not to condemn us, but to bring that conviction. Maybe you've been living a life, you know, that's just become casual with sin and making excuses for sin. Well, maybe we need to pray and say, God, would you invite God, so work in my heart that I really see sin how you see it. If you can pray that, that will change your life forever. Because if you can see sin as God sees it, you'll think more than twice before doing some things you've maybe or I've maybe been doing. It cost Jesus everything to free us from sin. And I don't just want to be a Christian that dances around happy that I'm saved and forgiven. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. I want to honour him with my life. And I want him to change my heart if there's any casualness in my heart towards sin and towards him. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word again today. that living and active sharp word, sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, I just pray that there be grace for everyone listening to realise in an increased measure the seriousness of sin. The seriousness of what it cost Jesus, you to die on the cross to deliver us from sin. God, the privilege it is to be able to stand before you with access and acceptance to your throne through your blood of Jesus. What it cost for that. And Lord, if there's any casualness in any of our hearts towards our salvation, Lord, would you change any heart, any person that's asking for that change today, so that we can live in the fear of the Lord at a much greater level again and honour you. Oh, and the fear of the Lord brings the freedom and the joy and the healings and the miracles and everything else. Yeah, we want all that, God, but God, we don't want to take your grace in vain. We don't want to treat casually that which is holy, dishonourable, that which needs honouring. Lord, I honour my salvation. I honour forgiveness. Lord, just help me to hate sin. Lord, in your word, you say to hate that which is evil, but to cling on to that which is good. And I give you all the glory, all the honour, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.